I have
current geek.
Current geek.
Hey, welcome to Current Geek. This is the weekly proceedings of the meetings of Frog Pants All-Stars, geeks of the world, and you to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Tom Merritt.
That is right, award-winning podcaster Scott Johnson.
Oh, thank you, award-winning podcaster Tom Merritt.
Well, thank you. We can do this all night.
We are officially, here's what I believe after all of the dust has settled, we have the most winningest set of combined community in the history of the medium.
When our communities unite, nothing can stop them.
Yep, and they are going to single-handedly or multi-handedly make the podcast awards change their rules.
We can't control them anymore, Scott. Wait, this show didn't win. What are we talking about?
Yeah, this show wasn't even nominated for L6.
Yeah, that
sucks. That's all right though. We'll get them next time, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's Tom and I, and we have guests, of course, joining us for the second time. It is one Jenny Josephson. Hello, Jenny. You know her as the literal backbone of the Daily Tech News Show.
I don't know.
Is it a minor part of the spine at the most.
All right, fair enough. You are the central nervous system.
The essential part.
Yeah, you're the, what's the part that makes us all so we breathe and our hearts beat without us trying to? What's that part called?
The lungs?
Yeah.
The medulla oblongata?
Yeah, maybe. That's the anatomic.
The Hakuna Matata?
The thing that makes it go. Jenny is definitely one of those people.
How about she's the blood?
Yeah, she's the blood. There you go. You're the blood in our veins.
All right.
Also dark.
I'll take it.
You're the corpuscles beneath our pumping heart.
That's right.
Too far.
Eric is also with us. Eric Van Skyhawk, been on the show many times, my former co-host on App Slappy, and now my winning teammate in our Heroes of the Storm competition ongoing. Eric's on the line. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
We just need another podcast for you to do so we can say the host of whatever, man. Because people don't know this. I always bring this up when you're on the shows and stuff, but Eric's responsible for like big commercial projects that you see on like big screen TVs all the time and you'd never know it. Yet, you know, where's the show? Where's the podcast? What's going on?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Me neither. Just barely know what's happening. I do know that we're here for Current Geek, and it's time for this.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, take it away.
We have some great submissions from our subreddit today. I sometimes wonder about the priorities of our subreddit voters. So if you haven't been voting, get over there, currentgeek.reddit.com. However, what did end up at Showtime being the most popular story on our subreddit was this. Star Fury Zeta wanted you to know that on the 16th day of the month of April, in the year of our nerd 2015, J.J. Abrams, against all common wisdom and lore, braved the 405, and at its divergence in the county of Orange, delivered unto the people of Anaheim and the world a new Star Wars teaser trailer.
What? Oh, this.
And lo,
oh my gosh.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
The trailer showed unto the people a wrecked Star Destroyer and X-Wing, a voice like unto an older, wiser Luke Skywalker, recounting to an unknown person on the topic of the family force tree, and concluded with the great general and scoundrel Han Solo delivering wisdom unto his friend and partner Chewbacca, the immortal words, Chewie, we're home.
Can I play that scene just real fast?
And lo, the masses.
I'm going to play that scene. Here you go. Ready? Here you go.
Chewie, we're home.
Oh gosh, dude. Holy shite. Holy crap. It still works. The 85th time and it's still like getting me there, getting me.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's an amazing trailer and it's not okay, I want to talk about something that I talked about on the instance just briefly this morning that I think is worth saying about why the Harrison Ford anchor on this teaser is important. It isn't just tweaking. It does all of this, but it isn't just that it tweaks the nostalgic thing. It doesn't just say, hey, remember when you were a kid and how important Han and Chewie were? Here they are again. Isn't that exciting? That's all true. Okay. All of those things are true. It's important that they were shown. They are also the only actors shown from the original trilogy in full. Like they're the only ones shown like as their characters in full, not just Luke's hand or Leia picking up a saber or however that whoever's handing it to her and all that stuff. It's not quite the same. This is full body Han Solo and Chewie. So that's all very important too. But I think the real important thing here is that Harrison Ford a venerable superstar actor who got his start in other things, but really in Star Wars, is back in it again. And there's something credible about that. There's something about seeing that and going, oh yeah, it's not just new actors we're not familiar with yet or haven't seen how great they're going to be in Star Wars yet. We think they will be, but we don't know. They're all new. It isn't just special effects that are a mix of CGI and practical. It's not all these other exciting things. It's this guy who is such an important part of Star Wars in so many ways. It is that actor who has this huge, giant career between Star Wars, A New Hope, and today that we can look on very fondly across the board for the most part. Mosquito Coast was a little weird, but whatever. And then there he is. And there's something that leads or just lends a big helping of credibility to the proceedings to me. Now, Jenny, am I smoking the crack, or is that why that feels important? Is it not just, you know, the fact that it's Chewie and Han? That's important, but it's got to be more than that.
Absolutely. And the thing that went along with that is that, first of all, I'm not the one who thought up this point. I saw it on Twitter. But the one most amazing thing about that Han Solo moment, that was when was the last movie trailer you saw where Harrison Ford smiled?
Yeah.
It's a rare thing. That was not my point, but it resonated with me because it's like, he's always been so grumpy. And this is like, he's happy to be home too.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, in trailers especially. Yeah, he didn't smile in that Ender's Game thing. He hasn't smiled in a very long time. That's kind of an interesting point. Eric, are you excited about this and all of it?
Oh my gosh. Like, when I saw that, it was just like, I had the same reaction. I felt like I was 8 years old again.
Yeah. That was about how old I guess that is how old we were. Tom, you were seven. We were eight. Yep.
Yeah. And it was just like, you got chills.
Where'd you go? Do you remember what theater you went to? Where'd you go?
I can't remember what theater it was, but I remember walking out of the theater with my dad saying, that is the greatest movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. I saw it at the Century 16 in Salt Lake City. Maybe with the same, you may have been in the same theater for all I know in 1976. That may have been both of us there that day.
Yes.
Was that right? 76, 78?
77.
77, sorry. Yeah, 77.
I remember I was 8 years old, so I don't know what exact month. What month did it come out?
May.
So maybe I was seven then, because I don't think I waited that long to see it.
Let me think about that. July, I would have been, how old are you? You're a year older than me, right? Or younger?
No, I'm 45.
Oh, you're same as me then. When's your birthday?
January 26th.
All right. So you happen to be
1970.
If it was May, then I was eight, you were seven. Tom was seven. Jenny, you were
still seven, Scott.
That was 0.7.
You were zero. How was I still seven if it was before July?
Because you didn't turn eight until July.
Oh, right. No, you're right. I would have been seven. But I remember something about being.
I remember because I was there with you. No, <I'm> just...
But Jenny, you were barely a thought.
My first, obviously, my first encounter with Star Wars: A New Hope was on VHS, and the first time I remember lobbying to go see a movie was sitting in an Upper West Side restaurant with my dad and pointing to Return of the Jedi and The New Yorker and saying, "I'm old enough for this. I want to go."
Oh wow!
So that's my.
That's all right. See, it's just everybody's got a story, and it doesn't. I feel like it doesn't even matter how old you are. Like, I created a story this week, not knowing I was doing that, but. My kids were at school. That trailer comes out. I watched the whole live thing on stage, which is all great for lots of reasons. And when that happened, I squealed like a girl, and Kim was like, "You're crazy." And she still refuses to watch it. She will not be spoiled, she says. I will not be spoiled on this movie, she said.
Are you serious?
She won't do it.
Does she do that a lot with movies or just this
every
one?
Movie, all movies. I try to trick her into it. She won't see the Avengers trailers. She won't watch any trailers with me. She hates being spoiled on trailers. We'll be in a movie theater, and she will avert her eyes and plug her ears when trailers come on. That is how hardcore she is about it. I know a few people like that, but I live with one. And it drives me crazy because I love the hype train, and I want to get on it, and I want to get all excited. So I send...
Ride the hype train.
I sent texts to my kids, my two kids, one in junior high, one in high school, and I said to them, hurry home as soon as you get out of school. Don't talk to anyone about Star Wars and don't look at any trailers. Let's watch it on the 70-inch with the surround sound and the whatever. By the time they got home, I couldn't work that out, so we ended up watching it on my computer. But I was like, you guys, we have to do this together. And they did. They avoided it. Some kids tried to get them to look at it. They wouldn't do it. They got home. We shared in this big moment. and my daughter got so excited the Chewie part, she punched me in the arm. It was amazing. So yeah.
Can I ask how you guys felt about the trailer itself as a trailer?
Yeah, Eric,
I thought it was. I mean, what I thought it was fantastic because first it's not your typical trailer, but having that theme of John Williams in the back is just like brings back so much, you know, memories from the first movies. And and I don't think it gave a lot away because like I still don't know what the story's about. I mean, this guy's talking about it. You know the story?
Well, I am the opposite of Scott's wife. I go out on the internet and I try to find
everything,
as many rumors and unsubstantiated things as possible and construct as much of it as possible ahead of time. That's part of the enjoyment for me. I totally get what Kim's doing where she's like, nope, don't want to be spoiled. Want to go into it totally fresh. Because sometimes when that happens, it's pretty amazing. But I know I won't be able to keep that from happening. And I also just want to know. So I have been like finding out as much as possible and trying to keep it straight in my head. Like these are the things that officially have been said by Lucasfilm or were shown off at Star Wars Celebration, because they did some cool things where they just showed props and then you learn things about the movie by looking at the props at the celebration.
That's the thing, as I didn't see anything of the stream.
Yeah. So that's kind of fun. And then there's also the rumors of like, oh, so-and-so believes that this character is interacting with this character because of X, Y, and Z, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
Because the one thing I did was listen just a couple of minutes ago, because I've been watching it 20 times. I listened to the whole trailer with my eyes closed. I didn't watch it. I just listened. And what's amazing is that, okay, it starts out with the amazing Star Wars music that we hear and it gives us chills down our spine. But then you can hear like the evolution of movie trailer music throughout the trailer, which is like there's a moment where there's one piano key right before the maybe Luke Skywalker says the Force is strong in my family. That piano key is like classic Giacchino, right? And then there's these bwoms that are coming in that are like subtler Inception bwoms. And then there's that triumphant swell of horns of like, I mean, they just did everything. And it just makes you think like, can they please keep John Williams alive forever?
Yeah. I hope he never leaves. You brought up something I want to mention, and now I forgot what it was. It was something about the, oh crap. Now I forgot what I was just going to say. It's been on my mind all day and it's been driving me slightly crazy, and I'll have to think of it again. I hate when that happens on a podcast. Gosh dang it.
Who said? Jenny?
No. Oh, I know what it was. Yep, Jenny reminded me of it. And you did it earlier, Tom. And everyone's doing this, and it's driving me crazy. So I want to ask the question. Everybody seems to be iffy. Some are sure it isn't, but many are just iffy. Whether that's Luke Skywalker's voice. That is totally Mark Hamill talking.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Mark Hamill talking.
Okay. I agree. And people are just cagey about it because they got burned on Cumberbatch in the first teaser. So people are saying, well, we thought it was Benedict Cumberbatch, but it was really Andy Serkis. And so now everybody's being cagey. But of course, that's Mark Hamill.
I thought the first one was Gollum's, what's his name? Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah. So
that's what she just said.
Oh, I think she
are
said
you guys
Cumberbatch.
Sure, it's Luke?
Everybody thought it was Cumberbatch.
Oh, right.
And it was Serkis.
Got it.
I didn't say it was Luke, Eric. I said it was Mark Hamill.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Big difference.
Yeah,
I don't
know. In this
I mean, does Leah have the Force?
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Those words he's saying are from Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Word for word.
This we know.
But in a different order.
Yeah, different order and a slightly different cadence. I went back and listened to the old one. It's not exactly the same.
Yeah, it's probably re-recorded.
Yeah.
Has she used the Force?
She could feel, remember she could tell something was up.
Remember when he tells her that she's his sister, spoiler, she's his sister. And she's like, and he's like, the Force runs strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. And my sister has it. And she's like, and he's like, you dummy.
Yeah.
I tried to kiss.
George
Lucas made my love interest in the first movie and then changed his mind. Yeah. You're my sister.
Yeah. This was in Empire when he's all beat up. He's coddling his hand.
Oh, it was Empire, not
was
Jedi.
Was it Empire? I always get confused where they did that. But she's seeing it. She's hearing him talk in her head. And she can also feel that something's okay at the end. Like, I want to remember, it's like Han Solo holding her and saying, I hope Luke got out, and she stops and pauses.
It's Jedi because Yoda tells Ben there is another at the end of Empire. And we're like, who's the other? What?
Yeah. It's the incestuous relationship there, Ben.
But he didn't sound like the Joker, though, so I'm confused.
Well, that's all he's done since. So, Eric,
he's also been the Flash, the guy.
In
the
Flash. Yeah, that was great.
Oh, dude, why do the villains always have to overact in that show?
It drives me nuts. I think it's fine. I think it's no problem. All right, so Eric,
but
look.
He's also Skips on regular show.
That's true. Yeah, he's great on there. Oh my gosh, that's such a weird show anyway, but he's great
on
there.
Forget he Skips. That's hilarious.
Totally Skips, that weird monkey. So, Eric, you're the only person here that's had like actual, I shouldn't say because I don't know, but you've
contact.
Had
contact.
I've contact had Star with Star contact. Wars contact. You've been to the Lucas farm. You've worked with R2 units. You've worked with Yoda. You've worked with actual Frank Oz and directed
Peter,
him to read
Peter
lines.
Peter Mayhew, too.
Peter Mayhew. Like, what is, you got to tell us what that's like. And whether or not you ever had a sense then that this would all be happening again in this huge way.
I had no idea. Yeah. I had like, you know, because when I was working with them, it was like the prequels. Like I did stuff with them in episode 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So I had, you know, you remember because back then, like how many years ago was that?
Yeah, 99 through like, 2005. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and I think Lucas came out and said, oh, no, I'm not finishing this thing. Remember, I think he came out and said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He implied like, there would be no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had no idea that this was all going to come back, and which is, but
he also said he wouldn't do the prequels at one point too. So, you know, he's like,
we all wish he didn't, but
hey, now it's not true.
You know what's so funny is that I actually worked with the director who discovered the young Anakin. He put up because he hired him his first job as a kid in an Oreo commercial.
Yeah. Jake Lloyd. Yeah.
Yeah, Jake Lloyd, and I, to this day, give him crap for doing that. It's like, why did you cast him?
I'm telling you, it's all about direction. I know that kid was a little young, and I know, but like, look at the difference in Hayden Christensen in Broken Glass versus Hayden Christensen in the Star Wars movie. It is about how a director interacts with actors that can make a make or break, or doesn't, that can make or break an actor's, like, Natalie Portman has gone on to do some incredible movie acting after those, but she said herself, like after those trailers, like I mean, after those prequels, no one would give her a role.
Yeah, and she was kind of terrible.
I'm curious, like when they're making these movies, these actors, and they're like, this just does not feel right. Do they have a discussion? Do they like?
Well, they're not like Tom Cruise where they can just storm off the set and everybody has to live with it. It's there. These are, you know, they're not going to do that.
Also, I mean, another trick is they do it great. And then the director's like, okay, let's just try it again this way.
Could you be more wooden?
Right? And also in the editing bay then goes and like cuts off the parts of the scene that shows emotion or makes the line make sense or whatever. Right. Yeah. There's all kinds of things you can do after the actor is done.
It's true.
It's very weird, but it's, I don't know. I've never seen, I mean, it takes a lot to say I've not seen this kind of fervor online in a very long time, but I haven't. And not even the teaser that came before this one was there this much excitement and fervor. And who's ever brilliant idea?
The teaser that came around Thanksgiving, people were very split about.
Well, everybody's freaking about the lightsaber design, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, now that we've seen the pictures of the prop up close, there's a perfectly good guard there to protect your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only that.
What did Mr. Industrially Apple design? Didn't he help out on the design on that?
Johnny Ive.
There was some Johnny Ive connection. You're right, but I don't remember what the deal was.
So the one thing I would say about this trailer versus the other trailer, if we're talking about the two different trailers, was at his best, when he's totally focused, J.J. Abrams is the master of emotional simplicity, which is to reduce things down to their emotional core. Look at the trailer. You can argue about the movie itself, but look at the trailer for Super 8. Remember how you felt in that trailer? Like, remember, if for those of you who weren't like immediately turned off by 2009 Star Trek reboot, do you remember how you felt when you saw that world and it felt real and it felt like real people? I mean, that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. And like, when I saw this trailer, I was like, this is classic, perfectly focused J.J. Abrams delivering to us like pop culture heroine, the emotional release that we all wanted for the return of Star Wars. Like, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah, he gets the, so speaking of the opposite of wooden, he gets the whole idea, and he said on stage multiple times how important heart is and how important, or how much of that came to him from Star Wars that inspired him then, and how important it was now. I think that's why I've always felt like he was the right choice. Because say what you want. I mean, I love Super 8, by the way. I think that's a great movie. But he has this, he is tapped into the Spielberg Lucas way of making movies in the 80s like nobody else, and then still making it feel modern and new. I don't know that there was ever another choice on the table. There had to have been backups, but you know, this guy was always going to be their first choice. And if this doesn't work, I'll say this for the record. If this sucks, if there's some reason this movie blows, I will never believe in anything ever again.
Mm-hmm. Your Seconded. Whole world will crumble.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'll wow. give up. That'll be it. Because it'll be like, okay, they, you know, I mean, I'm buying all into the hype, but whatever. You're cautious with Marvel stuff. It's like, well, I hope they do a good job. I love the Avengers, or I love whatever. And then they come out and it's really good. And you're like, oh, phew, that was a close one. I'm so glad this is good. This is really great. And even at its most mediocre, it was still better than you would have expected it to be. I cannot imagine a project with more hype attached to it. And the prequels, even as a lesson, was a great lesson in how to curb your hype meters, you know, a little bit before you go in. And so I don't know. I'm not saying I'm completely bullish on it. I think it's going to be great. I have zero problems leading up to it. Everything I've seen, and especially this trailer and what they talked about on stage, and that freaking working practical effects BB-8 droid. Amazing. Totally amazing.
Well, that's actually another thing that J.J. Abrams has learned to do very well, which is manage the fan reaction. He, you know, arguably isn't perfect at it, but he delivers fan service in his movies and TV shows in ways that he hopes don't get in the way of people who don't care about that sort of thing. So Star Trek is a good example of him trying to balance that. And I think bringing out BB-8 was him personally going like, hey, all of you who saw the first teaser and like, oh, that's got to be a CG. Here you go. Mm-hmm. Like, he's lying about the practical effects. No, I'm not. Here it is. Like, yeah. I am going to show it to you. I'm going to answer that, which he didn't need to do. Nope. He totally didn't need to do, but I love that he did. And it's all people were talking about in a ton of stories is that, wow, the BB-8 really was a real droid. And I'm like, yeah, that's impressive. That isn't the most impressive thing that happened yesterday, but it was so well done, because that was a big problem for a lot of people, because they thought it was CGI. And there's so many pain points amongst the haters who want to love Star Wars, and that's one of them, is over CGI stuff.
Yeah, and they bring out, I mean, this is, and it's no mistake, again, that they brought out their very first people on stage after Kathy Kennedy and him are sitting there and they've got the interviewer going. They bring out people nobody know that build droids, that figure out ways to do the animatronic stuff and get that all right, and bring out these beautifully scuffed up, dirty ass droids. Amazing. Like, that is a nod for him to go, look, if you're worried about that, don't be freaking worried about it. There is a reason that R2 unit looked like it had been through hell and back, just scuffed and dirty as crap, because he knows what fans are wanting and expecting here. I think that alleviated almost every fear you could have had about that. I'm not worried about it at all. I'm not worried about clothes that are too nicely made and tailored and perfect. I'm not worried about shiny ships. I'm not worried about any of the things that the prequels just kind of turned me off with. And now I'm even less worried, because there was a working practical effects BB-8 droid that functioned, that you could see in a scene and actually work. And they've claimed that they've got his practical version being used in the movie, along with, you know, where CGI is needed, they have it. But that, to me, is the great marriage of those two technologies, and I'm just beyond excited about that stuff. That stuff was really good. Eric, you should go back and watch that stream on YouTube. It's really good.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey is excited, too.
Yeah. Tell us about that story. What happened there?
Not much there. If you haven't seen it yet, someone brilliant took the scene of Matthew McConaughey reacting to a message from Interstellar. I don't want to say more because in case it's spoilery, but it's him from Interstellar reacting and crying and laughing, and they cut it in with the trailer, so it looks as if he's reacting to the Star Wars trailer. Yeah.
And hence another, I don't know if it'll get as big as the Hitler one from that one movie, but it's...
Or the laughing Mexican guy.
Yeah, or that one.
Now being used for everything.
Yeah, still getting around. But this one feels like it has legs. You could do a lot with what you put on that screen. But Yeah, that was maybe my second favorite video of the week, right behind the actual trailer, and made me appreciate, I don't know, weirdly it made me appreciate Matthew McConaughey a little bit for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why.
Yeah, because okay. He had nothing to do with it.
No.
Quick question, when is the Warcraft movie coming out? Is it like...
Next spring.
Oh, they moved it, right?
Yeah, it got bumped. Oh, yeah, originally it was supposed to be December, but they're not crazy.
They're like, wait, that's dumb.
Yeah, Star Wars came. They had picked their date first, and then Disney Lucas announced December, and about 2 weeks after that, Blizzard announced the delay. But I mean, I don't think anyone holds it against them. It's like, you know, that would be crazy. So yeah.
Now, Mish Zenith pointed out there was another trailer leaked. It's supposed to be coming Monday officially, but there's a Portuguese dubbed version of Batman versus Superman's trailer out. And it has not had the same level of excitement and love in reaction to it as the Star Wars trailer.
Yeah. So, Jenny, it's dark, man. How do you feel about that?
All right. There's a rant coming, and I will try to keep it short.
All right.
Stop making Superman dark. Stop it. Superman is light and love and happiness, and he is a model for all of us. And let me tell you what, if you want to make Superman have more complex emotional structure, that's fine. I get it. We're now in a different place. Stop making Superman dark. It's a waste of the character, and you're going to make us reboot the movie again in 5 years. If you're going to have light versus dark in a movie, Superman has to be the light. And Batman is the dark. And all that trailer did was confirm to me that they are bunking it up again, just out of a desire to be in the Nolan emotional dark sphere and as a counterpoint to Marvel. Here endeth the rant.
Okay. So I want to say something to that real quick. And I'm hopeful that I'm still very hopeful because there is one eternal conflict that I really enjoy, and that is Batman v Superman as a concept. Because you've got the Boy Scout, he's in the back pocket of the UN. Lots of people die when he does things, but it's in the greater need for justice. And Batman says, nope, that is the wiener way out. I do this at night. I do it in the dark. I take out who needs to be taken out. I don't kill anybody. And true justice is dispensed by me. They have a very fundamental difference in how they feel about how each side does their job. And that's a great conflict. And it comes to a head in Frank Miller's great graphic novel, The Dark Knight. Now, I can tell, obviously, they're playing off of that. And I'm going to agree with you. This could be just the trailer, though, and that's the only benefit of the doubt I'll give it. It could just be bad trailering where they are not... I mean, having Superman just hover up above Batman looking menacing as all hell and back is fine for the fight scene. It's fine for whatever, but they have his character wrong, and they've had it wrong since the last one, and they need to set that right, or you're right. 5 years from now, they're going to reboot it. I essentially agree with you. I guess I'm just holding out hope that this is a trailer that's trying to strike a different tone than what Marvel's doing, like they've been trying to do, and that maybe things will work out in the end because it is an interesting conflict. It actually is really a cool thing if they do this right. But if you want a good Superman movie, might I suggest the ripoff Marvel made called Captain America the Winter Soldier. That's a fantastic Superman movie.
Yeah, really hasn't been a really good Superman movie yet. I mean,
nope.
If you think about it.
Well, the Chris Reeves stuff was, you know.
I mean, but I'm just like, look, the last one, there's just like, there was no character development. It's like, oh, Lois Lane, I love you. I just met you 2 seconds ago. And I'm like, what?
Well, not only that, my problem is they just don't have his character right yet. And they're worried too, because I think they feel like, well, in 2015, he can't.
But the thing is, remember when we first saw that trailer, we got pretty excited about the new thing, you know, because it had that bus scene and with what's his bucket, Dancing with Wolves, Kevin Costner, dude, as a dad.
Yeah, that movie was a great trailer.
Great trailer.
Yeah, it was a great trailer, but then the movie just fell so flat.
So maybe this is a bad trailer with a great movie behind it.
I'm going to say one more really quick thing about it, which is that the lesson of Christopher Nolan was not to make everything dark. The lesson of Christopher Nolan was to dive deep into the essential character of the superhero. Batman happened to be dark. Let's try diving into the essential nature of Superman the way they have so well in the comics over the years and all the conflicts that come with being who he is. Don't follow the wrong lesson of all those Nolan movies.
And take
my I would add to that, maybe they will. This trailer doesn't tell me anything really, except we made a really dark trailer. Half of it is a scene of a city, which I guess is must be Gotham, and a lot of people angry at Superman. But mind you, they
should be.
There's not much in here. Like, it's not a very good trailer. It didn't get me excited for the movie, and it didn't tell me what the movie's going to be about very much either.
Yeah.
All it did was stoke the fears that Jenny's expressing that they're just going to go over the top and make it really dark.
Yeah, I agree. There was an opportunity here to break that, and they didn't do it. Some of the questions that the voices, the disembodied voices, reporters and things are saying, they do raise interesting questions. They're essential questions about Superman in a modern context. Can you lay waste to a city and not think about the collateral damage you caused? But if it was a greater good, what does that mean?
Like in the last movie.
Exactly. Like if 3,000 people die at the hands of you and Zod having your fight in the city, what does that mean? Like, I want them to address those things. I think that's super interesting, but they've got to get it right. And I'm telling you, if they want the inspiration, go watch the last Captain America movie. They showed you how you can have your Boy Scout out, fish out of water Boy Scout who wants to do right by everyone, and how that still can be a great, conflicting, interesting, fun, bright, shiny, happy movie. And they freaking nailed that. So I really hope that they probably didn't, and we're all going to hate it. I don't know. I'm less bullish on this one, obviously, but I'm going to hold out hope because that conflict is a really interesting one, and however that leads to them, you know, burying the hatchet and deciding to work together, that's boyhood dream come true. So I'm excited with lots of reservations.
We got a few other stories here. You people on the subreddit are kind of odd because as of 2 hours ago, 2:45 p.m. Pacific, the following story had more votes than the Star Wars story. Now, that changed by showtime, but John Fu pointed out that the U.S. Patent and Trade Office has determined that claims 31 through 35 of U.S. Patent number 8112504B2, sometimes referred to in the popular press as the podcast patent, are unpatentable. So rest easy, Adam Carolla.
Oh, again, I guess all of us by proxy.
I mean,
sort of.
This was one of those things where, like, patent troll was trying to assert a patent on podcasting and milk a bunch of people who had money out of their money, including Apple at one point. Mm-hmm. And the EFF raised some money and challenged it, and those claims got thrown out of court. So, yay.
Is it done? Can they appeal it, or is this it?
I don't think they can appeal the USPTO decision. They could definitely go back to court and try to assert other parts of their patent, but I don't think they have nearly as strong of a case with any of that.
Well, that's good. Seems like to me. Jenny, that's good, right? It's good for us
as
podcasters?
Yes, it's good for Frog Pants. It's good for everyone. I'm happy.
All right. Eric, yeah, how are you? Are you excited about
any
troll?
I'm so excited, even though I don't do a podcast.
Well, good. Because you understand what it means to get screwed over.
I know.
If you wanted to syndicate any kind of episodic-related content, though, Eric, it would have affected you.
Big time.
And I know how you are.
Yeah.
With my episodic content.
Yeah.
With your syndication of episodic content. SwiftPaws sent us an interview in which Mark Ruffalo explains why there isn't a new standalone Hulk movie. The answer is Big Green Bucks. Marvel owns the character rights to the Hulk, obviously, which means he can be in the Avengers movie. But Universal is the studio that made the standalone Hulk movies in 2003 and 2008. So if Marvel wants to do their own Hulk movie, they have to fork over some cash to Universal. The solution? Hulk smash contract.
Nice. Nice.
Hulk smash Comcast.
Yeah, Comcast. It's basically the same.
Comcast Universal. Yeah.
So I'm fine with this. You know, like the truth is it's a hard character to do on its own anyway. And I actually think a television show, something like Daredevil, which is awesome on Netflix, if they wanted to go down that route with a Hulk series, a serialized Hulk series.
We have the sad Hulk music, too.
Yeah, why not?
Mark slow walking away.
Sure. In the rain.
Sure, why not? You need to stretch that stuff out more. I feel like a two-hour movie just isn't going to do it. It's just either on or off. He's either the Hulk and he's mad or he's not.
I don't know if a TV show would be a good, you know, good, because it's so like, okay, when is he going to turn into the Hulk? You know, it's just like the
cookie cutter. And that's the problem with the movie, too. So,
it happens a couple times, but it's like, oh, this week, what's going to happen to, you know, when is it going to, it's like when you're watching the old
series.
You
got angry.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, yeah, you know.
That's totally true. I guess I'm glad he is where he is. He's best as a team player.
Yeah, I think he's perfect where he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just keep him there. Jenny, you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the lesson of the, you know, the always on a TV show, there's a character that just jumps out and dominates, and then they try to give them their own series and it doesn't quite work out. Joss Whedon, a man of television, has reversed that and figured out what the right thing was to do with the Hulk, and they should stick with it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Age of Ultron turns out to have a secret Hulk movie inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks like it might.
Anybody here at all, just briefly, worried at all about these early reviews saying that Ultron's just a little darker than they expected, and that they're not sure it's in keeping with the original Avengers? No, nervousness?
Not in the possible least.
Okay, because you're a huge... Joss Whedon could literally fart on screen and you'd say, this is the best thing
like,
ever.
I'd be like, it was great. It's better than Shakespeare. He did Shakespeare. every good sequel deepens the storytelling, and look at where we're going in Avengers 3. They're going to battle an uber god, you know, like it's, we have to get a little darker. Look at the next Captain America movie. Like, this is the direction that they're heading, but they're doing it organically. And if there's one thing that you can always rely on in a Joss Whedon movie, it's that there will be leavening humor in bountiful amount.
Mm.
And you'll also be able to go watch Ant-Man if you want something that's a little lighter.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
I'm not worried. Everyone needs their Empire Strikes Back. I think it's fine. I mean, when we were kids, maybe that's your only worry. When I was a kid, I thought Empire was the worst thing ever and I hated it. Now,
seriously?
Now it's my favorite thing ever. Oh, yeah. I was
you
a big...
hated Empire? I loved Empire.
I was all about the third Muppet one at the time at Jedi. But now I think that thing has way too many puppets in it and is kind of annoying. And
Tom keeps disappearing off screen and then bringing back amazing things, which we're not talking
about. Did
you see it with the Kingdom Come? He was holding up the Kingdom Come graphic now. Oh, now
like
we've
got... Now I got Slave One, Kingdom Come, Slave One. What? Get something else that rhymes with it. And then we got
it doesn't rhyme, but I got a land
speeder. Gosh, dang it, Tom. He always has stuff right at the handy.
I've got a little R2-D2.
There's nothing there. Where's all this stuff coming from?
It opens up and Leia's inside.
Oh my gosh, you're in some kind of
why is Leia inside?
You know, so he can project her.
Like Tom is Obi-Wan. All this stuff just comes out of
Tom films out of the back of a comic book shop and just hasn't told us.
A vortex.
I've been there and I've seen behind the scenes.
Yeah, what'd you think? Any secrets you want to tell us? Anything crazy you saw happen?
Not really.
Oh, okay, great.
He's like, this is it. And he's like, yep, this is it. All right. Let's
call
it upstairs.
Yeah. Go have something to eat. Hey, our next story came from Jenny J23.
Hey, I know her.
She would like us to know that Sony Pictures and MRC have not forgotten the face of their father. Sony will distribute, or at least they say they're going to, the first in a planned series of movies, and MRC will develop a complimentary TV series based on The Gunslinger.
Oh.
New script co-written by Akiva Goldsman and Jeff Pinker, totally rewritten from the first draft, and no one cares because all we want to know is who will play Roland, what does Oi look like, and can James Spader be Ultron and Blaine the Mono, please?
Oh my gosh, Blaine the Mono, wow. It's my favorite series of books in the history of the world. Love that series.
Me too.
So every time something gets said about this, I just about fall over myself with excitement, and then my hopes are dashed against rocks because then they cancel it or move it on to somebody else. And could this, Jenny, as a fellow fan, is this it? Is this the place? Is it going to happen?
Here's the thing. Sony needs a big old win. They need it hard because they have had a lot of trouble in the past 6 months. And say they are looking to make a big splash. The people, Brian Grazer and Akiva Goldsman and Ron Howard, they really believe in this. Everybody wants to see this get done while Stephen King can still play an active part. And I think that that this series was not right until the television and Netflix-y, Amazon-y universe evolved to be able to hold it. Mm. It just, there wasn't a place for it even 10 years ago in the traditional model of movie making and television. And it's almost like there was a level of the tower created just so that we could have these movies.
Oh, look at you.
It all came together.
Eric, have you read these books?
I have read the first one only.
It's one of my favorite ones.
Don't
I
even.
Love the first.
Just skip.
Just skip. No, here's what you do.
I started the second one, and the second one was tough. It's tough starting out, and I think I...
Here's the order of my favorite. Well, here's my favorites. It's one. It's... A lot of people don't like three. I like three. Four, I think, is incredible. A lot of people don't like four, actually, but I love four. And then I probably would put... What's the Song of Suzanne? Is that five? Is that six?
Six.
I love that book.
Thanks.
I love them all. Whatever. They're all great. And if there's anything, there's a couple of problems. I don't like Stephen King writing himself into his own story. That bugged me. A few things like that. But on the whole, it is an epic freaking tale. The question is, can you make it in a movie or a series of movies, or should you just make a series out of this like the thing was meant to be in the first place?
And who plays Stephen King?
Right. And who played?
Yeah.
Who plays Roland? But who plays Stephen King? Can you find a guy ugly enough to play Stephen King? Oh, he's fine. He's fine.
Come Wasn't on. Benicio del Toro on the hook at one point?
He could
Everybody
do it.
Was.
No, I know, but I like that was the one.
It was Bardem.
That was rumored. Oh, Bardem. No, it was Javier Bardem. Bardem. Yeah, Bardem is the one where I like. Actually, yeah, like that's kind of right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I only have three words to say on this matter.
What's that?
Viggo.
Oh, you think Viggo Mortensen's your only choice, though?
It's the only choice for me.
He's pretty. And you know what? He is the right age
There
now.
There's some who call him Strider.
If you.
I don't care. That was last decade. Get me some Viggo as Roland.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm settling. I just keep thinking we're forgetting somebody, but he's pretty strong for it. I mean, The Road really knocked it home for me. Just all dirty and grimy. That's just perfect. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, bring it on. Do you like The Road, by the way? I love The Road. Anyway, Tom,
Tickets went on sale this week for the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference. That'll be coming up June 8th through the 12th. You can pay $1,600 if you're lucky enough to be selected to go and you're a developer. Most of us care because we want to see what they announce, which is usually OS related. But interestingly, Dee Basinge pointed out in a story that he put up on the subreddit that there will be no selfie sticks at the Worldwide Developer Conference this year. That selfie sticks and similar monopods may not be used in the Moscone West or Yerba Buena Gardens, and no vaping inside the conference center either.
Can we make that
also
selfie
no
stick.
Fun? Smiles are mandatory. No refunds. Yeah.
Can we make that selfie stick a global law, please?
I don't like them either. When I was in Vegas in December, they were everywhere.
Where do I work, Scott?
You work in New York City.
In Times Square,
yeah.
I walk outside my building and I'm smacked in the face with
Apparently, Adam Levine got hit by a selfie stick on stage at a Maroon 5 concert.
Oh my gosh,
that's
really
hilarious. That's it's like, I'm going to take a selfie. Hits him in the head.
That's bad. I don't like them at all. I think they're terrible. And I don't know how you're going to outlaw them. But if you're running an event like this, they certainly have the prerogative to.
So at that ticket price, do you get an Apple Watch with that ticket price?
No. If you save that ticket price, buy that new MacBook and you spend about the same money.
Yeah.
Dude, and then why is it so expensive?
Well, because they can.
Because
they can.
Get to shake hands with Johnny Ive.
Come somewhere inexpensive like Nerdtacular 2015.
Tim cook you a meal.
Oh, man, that was pretty good. Jenny, are you going to spend almost $1,600 on a ticket to go to this?
Nope, I'm just going to listen to Tom talk about it.
All right, fine.
Is Tom going? That's the big question.
Yeah. Nope.
Nope. Nope. Neither will I.
Why would I? You can get everything streamed on the internet if you really want it.
Plus, Tom, they don't,
and
a lot of people
don't.
And
I can sit here surrounded by my land speeder in comfort.
Some people don't know this, but Tom prefers to vape on a selfie stick, so.
True. That's the other disadvantage, yeah.
All right.
It's like a cigarette holder
sure.
for my vaping.
Before we launch into the pop quiz, I have to remind folks that we are brought to you today by the We Geeks podcast, brand new geeky podcast called We Geeks. 8 or 9 episodes in now, probably 9 as of this recording. They focus on design, photography, tech news, hosted by Howard Pinsky and Nathaniel Dodson, two of YouTube's top design educators. I was just looking at some of their videos today. About syncing stuff across the new CC stuff between applications. Those guys know all there is to know, and they've got a ton of subscriptions. So be some of the early subscribers on their new podcast. Go to WeGeeksPodcast.com. It's on SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Great stuff on YouTube as well. Go check them out. That's WeGeeksPodcast.com.
It's like a never-ending WWDC for design that you can just get right now.
Yeah, and it's free?
You don't
Hello?
Have to pay him $1,600.
Yeah, it's free.
America scores and wins.
All right, that music can only mean one thing. It is time for us to do the pop quiz. Pop quiz involves us asking trivia questions in areas of their expertise, those being our guests. Today is no different. If they get an answer right, if they get it wrong, Tom scores the whole thing up. Scores it all up, Tom.
Shocking it up.
I suppose I should open them before I get going here. Hold on. Yeah, the drive's a little slow. I usually have these up and going. The areas that we are going to discuss today, we'll start with Jenny. Jenny, your category is, hold on, it's coming up. Just a minute.
Superman Dark
Comics.
I'm so
nervous.
Here you go. So am I, because the file's not there. There it is. It is Tolkien trivia. More,
oh, yeah.
Whoa.
More Lord of the Rings. Hmm. Right. Did we do that last time? A little bit, anyway, right?
We did, yeah. I have a feeling I'm going to get a different level of question this time.
The questions are written in Quenya.
Okay. I only speak Sindarin, and I find that to be very disrespectful.
Nerds.
And the answer is not Vigo, Vigo, Vigo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
all
every
right.
time. All right, here you go. First question. Who was the Dark Lord before Sauron?
Morgoth.
You are. Oh, this thing's not moving right. Here we go. You are correct. Later known as Morgoth, started out as Melkor, but we'll give you that one. Right, Tom?
Yeah, well, he started off as Mel.
Oh. Mel. Right, at a diner.
It melds into the West Diner.
Yeah. Yeah, then Flo left, did her own thing. Got it.
And he's like, I'm an evil lord now.
When the shards of Narsil, and I apologize if I get any of these words wrong, are reforged, what is the name of Aragorn's new sword?
The Kingslayer? No, I know the answer. I know the answer.
The needle.
Take up the thing. Become the man you were always meant to be. I don't remember. I'm going with the Kingslayer.
It's the Andril.
The Andril, yeah.
Andril.
You get a half point for remembering the quote around it, though.
Yeah. Right, and you probably knew it had an apostrophe in it, like all dumb fantasy names. You probably knew that. what was the name Saruman goes under when he is when he is a small-time criminal in Hobbiton? Something we don't get to see in the movies.
Oh, bummer. It's like blinkety blank the blanky, or snookery, or it's
kind of close on that last one.
Yeah, it's like snarl or snook snort. I can't. It's like right in front of my face, but I can literally picture how I visualize it in my mind, but I can't remember that.
All of those are wrong. It is Sharky. Sharky.
Sharky. Yes.
Actually, no. All of those are also right. They're not in the books, but they are other names that he went by in the underworld.
Snargly. Yeah.
Is a snarf from that?
A lot of people don't realize also that Sharky's machine was part of the Tolkien universe.
Ah, see, there you go. Nice reference.
It's a spinoff.
Yes, Snarf was in Thundercats, right?
Thundercats, yeah.
Yeah, it's a terrible mascot, that
or
thing.
Or Smarf from Too Many Cooks.
Yeah.
I have a funny thing about Too Many Cooks.
What? Tell it.
Sorry, this is
a
tangent.
That's all right.
So when I was going to Art Center, I knew the computer lab manager was this very funny guy who did a comic called Fright Society, and his name was Chris Kelly, and we became friends. And then he goes, oh, I got a job at Cartoon Network. Fast forward 18 years, I'm talking to my boss at my job. And I was like, yeah, I know this guy who did that Too Many Cooks. And I was like, really? Yeah. And he says, his name is this and this. And he's like, wait, he's the one that I knew from Art Center? And he's like, yeah, that's the same guy. I hired him at Cartoon Network. And I was like, what?
Oh, no way. All this connected stuff, man.
Wow. Yeah. And then then my boss texted him saying, I'm here with Eric Van Skyhawk. And he responded, oh, how's Eric do? I remember he used to kick my butt at Warcraft 3.
Now it'd have to be Heroes of the Storm.
All right. Jenny gets a point for having to wait through your name dropping.
Next up, how many children did Samwise Gamgee have with his wife, Rosie Cotton?
Four. Eleanor, Rosie, Frodo, four. I'm going with four.
You are incorrect. It's 13. They are Eleanor, Eleanor, Frodo, Rosie, Mary, Pippin, Gildilocks, Hamfest. Hamfast. It's not fist. Ham-fisted kid. Daisy, Primrose, Bilbo, Rudy, Robin, and
13
Tolman.
13 kids. Sam, man.
I know.
Sam was Catholic.
Sheesh, no kidding. Sam is Lynn Peralta. All right, next question. Who is the father of Legolas?
Oh, Thranduil.
You are correct. Nicely. That's a hard one. Nice one. You should see the pie maker. That would have made me laugh. All right, next up. Who will the Lord of the Balrogs... Sorry. Who was the Lord of the Balrogs during the First Age?
those Balrogs.
No, don't talk. I know it. I know it. It starts with an M. Oh, no, Ungoliant. Ungoliant.
You are incorrect. It is Gothmog. Gothmog.
So Ungoliant was a child of Gothmog? I protest.
That may be one you want to take it to the judges. I don't know. I have no
Dark
idea.
Spider, Ungoliant.
Yeah.
Primordial beating in the shape of a gigantic spider. Initially Ungoliant. Now I have Melkor. And for a short time in Middle-earth. Mother of Shelob.
Right. Yeah.
Mother of Shelob, not the...
Right.
Not the head of the... All right, so a different giant spider in that family. Okay.
Thrall's the war chief. Manoroth's hard to beat.
Yeah, well, wait, no. What was your question again, Scott?
It was, who was the lord of the Balrogs during the first age?
Ungoliant was...
I went spiders, and this was Balrogs. I get it. I got great. It. I went to the giant spiders, not the
you know, Balrogs. I'm going to give you a half point, understandable, confusing Balrogs and spiders.
Yeah. We'll call you half point. Like, oh no, it was it's half, like half pint. Pint. Yeah,
half listen,
pint.
Half point. Akito's blind. That's you have to help her out.
How many consecutive 7-year terms? Oh my gosh, you just brought back a memory, Tom, about that kid who was blind when he was hooked on.
What
was that? He was hooked on. What's the kind of? What do they give you to painkiller?
Morphine.
And he to get through it, he had to barf all this white morphine up. It was really gross. Yeah. Yeah, I have a strong memory of that. Anyway, how many consecutive 7-year terms was Samwise Gamgee elected for as mayor of the Shire?
Let's try to keep politics out of it.
I know. Maybe this is where that four... I think he served 4 consecutive terms.
You are incorrect. It is 7 or 49 years
this
as mayor of the Shire.
This guy's always doing more things than I think he has done.
Right.
Come on, Samwise.
It's about ethics in Hobbiton, okay?
Yeah. Keep it straight.
Always go with the number 7, if not 3.
Final question. About how old was Gollum / Sméagol when he died? And I'll give it to you within 20 years. No, 10 years.
Oh, come on.
I'll give it to you within 10.
He was at least...
My precious. We want our social security checks.
He was at least 1,000 years old.
We want our programs.
1,000 years old. Let's find out if you're right. If the is wrong. It's 589 years.
No, I always thought it was 7. Like 1,000 years.
7, we would have accepted it.
It was 1,000. It was like 1,000 years. Yeah, thanks. It was 1,000 years since they dropped the ring in the river, and then he picked it up much later.
Right.
Okay, never mind.
Fair enough. Nicely done. Oh. Yeah, I think you did all right. But before we score you up, we're gonna screw up Eric with his questions. And his category.
Hey, what's my category?
Is, let me bring it up. Nickelodeon trivia.
Whoa. Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. You work at Nickelodeon. It's not like he, you know, we can't expect him to know everything about anything that ever happened at Nickelodeon.
The alternative were the bylaws of the International Advertising Bureau, so I'd go with Nickelodeon myself.
That one's a boring one. All right, so here you go. Nickelodeon trivia. First question. In the cartoon Doug, who is Skeeter's favorite band?
I have no idea.
The Beats. The Beats.
The Beats.
Half point honesty.
All right.
No idea.
You're going to get points no matter what, dude, because you're just here. In Rugrats, what doctor's book do the parents always turn to when their children are acting up? I actually know this. It's sad.
Seriously?
Yeah.
My gosh. What to expect when you're expecting?
Nope. It is Dr. Lipschitz is his name. Dr. Lipschitz.
Okay.
Got it.
Did you get that okay? Lipschitz. Got it? Okay. No. Who is Rocco's best friend in Rocco's Modern Life?
Oh.
This one hurts him.
Yeah,
It's a cow bull thing.
He's a cow. I'll give you that.
I can see him. I have no idea what his name is.
Heifer Wolf. Oh, sorry. Heifer Wolf is his name. Heifer Wolf.
Cow bull thing. That's worth a half point.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he was great. Who plays Pearl Krabs on SpongeBob SquarePants? Now, this is the actress, the voice actor. You've worked with those
Pearl?
Before. Yeah, Pearl.
I can see her face.
Yeah.
But I don't know her name.
In your dreams.
Lori Allen. She also plays the boss in Metal Gear Solid 3 and Deanna Simmons, Simmons on Family Guy. So she gets around.
I can't say, I know who Krusty Krab is. I know who, you know.
Yeah,
Patrick.
Yeah, well, Krusty Krab is technically a restaurant, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Krusty Krab?
Yeah, you're thinking of Mr. Krabs.
Mr. Krabs, sorry.
He owns the Krusty Krab. And also, how sad is it that I know any of this? All right, next up. What is the name of the camp on Salute Your Shorts?
Oh my gosh.
These are terrible.
I have no idea.
All right. That is incorrect. It is Camp Anawana.
It's quarter point.
All right.
He doesn't really have any idea.
I love it. All right, here's a good one for you. What was the name of the video game trivia show that was on Nickelodeon for a time? Show had contestants playing games and doing trivia.
It was not. Whose Line Is It?
No, it was not that.
Game On?
It was not that. It was Nick Arcade. Nick Arcade.
I remember that.
I don't think it was on very long. What was the name of Angelica's doll on Rugrats? Sadly, I also know this one.
You know this one?
Yeah, my kids love that show. They're little.
I have no idea.
Cynthia. Oh, sorry. Cynthia. Final question. What is the name of the ranch on Hey Dude?
Dude, I have no... Why can't he bring some of the new IP? Because I have to know that for dude to do my job.
Yeah.
Who got slimed in the Honda ad or something? Like, come on, sure. Give the guy a break, Iceworm.
Or the Ninja Turtles. That's a Nickelodeon IP now, you know?
Sure. He could have done Regular Show or Adventure Time or any of those.
No, those are cartoons.
Oh, that's right.
What about You Can't Do That on Television?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
All that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Here's... So you don't know this one, first of all. Hold on. I'll just give you a buzz. That's the Bar None Dude Ranch. I'll give you a bonus question, okay? Who hosted all of those Slimer shows where the game show where if you lost, you get slime on you? What was that guy's name?
Oh, I don't know.
It's worth 3 points.
Worth 3 points? Is it Brian something?
Hold on. I got to find it because I don't actually know it. Oh, there it is. It is. So you don't know? You give up?
Yeah, I give up.
All right. It is Mark Summers.
Mark Summers. That's it.
Yeah, remember that
guy? Double Dare.
Yeah, Double Dare.
We'll go on the air in QUBE in Columbus, Ohio.
Nice. I was hoping you knew it because I couldn't remember his name.
The way it wasn't like, name the four quadruplets on the new Nick show.
See? Yeah,
what is that? Come on, guys. Who is it?
I don't know. Who is it?
Nicky, Ricky, Dicky, and Don.
Oh my gosh! Look at you. See, you would have won this thing.
Yeah, I would have. Yeah. Dicky,
Dicky.
Well,
so
sorry. Add it up, so, Tom. How'd they do?
He won.
Well, yeah. Hakito got 1.25, and Jenny got 5. Let's just not dwell.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Congratulations, Jenny Josephson.
Yay! Good job. Maybe we'll just need
you. Mononucleosis, which is when I read the entire series.
This will cheer you up here.
Right. Strong in my family.
Just a little of this here.
My father has it.
He's talking about tuberculosis. That's what he meant.
Here, I put something in the chat. You can play a little bit of this.
Would you hold on in the chat room? Chat.
Can we play that?
In this, in the Skype.
Okay, I'm checking it. What is this here?
You can just play a little bit. Don't play all of it.
Oh, okay. I have to download.
I don't know if I can still get in trouble, but you know.
Is this a new thing?
You'll know it.
Yeah, I totally know what this is. Okay. For some reason, it's not got an MP3 on the end of it, but I'll make that P3. Okay, here we go.
It's not an MP3.
Oh, what is it?
It should be an AIFF file, I think, maybe.
AIFF. That may work. Here we go. It's
28. Pick up. Okay, pick up for the tag.
That drink chew. That drink. Chewbacca.
Hold on. So for some contests, this is Frank Oz, right?
Yep.
And he's doing takes for you.
Yes.
For a Pepsi ad.
My diet Pepsi ad, yeah.
Here, just hear some more of this.
Chewbacca. Chewbacca. Chewy. Chewy, that... No, he wouldn't call him Chewy. Chewbacca.
All right. That's
amazing.
He wouldn't call him Chewy. I was thinking that. That's hilarious.
That's great. What a sweet little inside thing that is.
Oh, that's great. great.
Yeah, I'm nerding out a little bit. Actually, we don't know if we're going to get any kind of Yoda appearance, like a ghost even in this new one, do we? We don't know anything about that.
Good question. Yeah. Ooh. What kind of other secret appearances will there be?
Yeah. Will he be a puppet? All right. It is time for a very fast forecast. Here you go.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
It was a show. It's now a segment. And in related predicting news here, I say that a new Star Wars movie per year will create a precedent or a trend that will essentially be cinema for the next 25 years. That this will be why people go to movie theaters. It will be for only big, giant things like this that have the kind of tentpole pull on that's on society that movies like this and Marvel stuff does, and that more and more we will have less and less rom-coms, less and less semi-independent movies. I don't know what the Oscars does with this information, but a lot more of that stuff will just be straight to people's homes on all their fancy stuff, however we're viewing things, and that this will be a reserved experience for only the biggest things, and they will be year-on-year type experiences. We'll come to expect it.
Can I extend, just add an addendum, and thus fulfilling the actual dream that George Lucas had when he began work on Star Wars to return the serial to the theater.
That's great. Mm. Think of that. He will have done it. Oh my gosh. He's at home right now going, hey, they're finally figuring out my grand plan.
My plan.
The only thing I had to do is
somebody
got
it.
I just had to step aside for it to happen.
I just had to sell it for $3 or $4 billion and, is this turtle neck showing my neck? Anyway, he's
I told you what they told me when I went to a Skywalker ranch.
No, right? what you couldn't look at him in the eye
don't
or something.
They told me not. Yeah, so if you see George Lucas, don't look at it. Look at him in the eye. And I'm like, what?
Really? That's so
don't
weird.
Don't make eye contact with him. And I was like, what?
Was he gonna go off and like lightsaber you? What's the problem?
I
saw George Lucas in a theater when I lived in San Rafael, and
really?
I didn't make eye contact with him because I was embarrassed. I wasn't worried that something bad would happen.
It's a good thing you didn't. He's known to throw shattered crystal skulls.
I guess.
Yeah, just save yourself. Anyway, what do you think, Jenny?
I absolutely agree. I think the small screen is getting bigger and bigger, and I think that is the place where rom-coms fundamentally belong. Mm-hmm. Although I would reserve the month of February and maybe the month of May for a little bit of historical rom-coms that the people can still make out in the theater.
Well, and important. Probably like big stunt ones, right? Where you get like a huge cast. That would make sense to me.
Yeah.
Put it on a holiday. I'll tell you that story someday.
Okay.
Matt will.
Well, we'll have you back. we finally have an email here from a Kirk Geek. Go ahead.
Wait, are you not going to ask me?
No, go ahead. I'm asking you now. What do you think?
You said you should skip to the emails.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. It's your turn.
No, I don't agree. I think.
All right.
So you're thinking that like the theaters are going away?
Not going away. They'll stay. They'll just be the
place
for this.
Yeah, but I think there's kind of a resurgence of theaters because like I'm going to the movies more than I ever have before. But it's because the seats are reclining. I'm getting good food.
And what kind of movies are you watching?
Kids movies, any type of movie. I mean. Granted, when I went and saw Kingsman with Eileen and Tom, like the freaking chairs were rumbling. Mm-hmm. It was like it was insane.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'm not saying that those things will coincide with this. I just think
you're thinking there could be less and less of those movies in the theaters.
Yeah.
It's going to be big action.
Big
ones,
action,
right?
Loud movies that will be great and wonderful. And I'm glad they'll still exist, but you're not going to see the King's Speech in a D-box. You know what I mean? Like nobody cares about that. Like
he was saying Kingsman, not King's Speech.
Yeah, yes, he did. But let's say it was the King's Speech, right? Let's say a nice, quiet.
Which is the movie I saw with George Lucas, actually.
Oh, was it really? Oh, that's crazy. So the King's
in
Speech.
In the theater, Scott. In the theater.
Sure.
The King's Speech in the theater.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking right now. I'm talking like in the future. So the King's Speech, everyone saw that in movie theaters. Great, wonderful, quiet, Oscar-worthy film. Won a bunch of Oscars.
The surround sound when he started speaking was like amazing in the theater, right?
But that's my whole point. Like when he starts swearing, is it going to make your D-box move? Like it's just dumb. Like those kinds of experiences are just going to be more and more things that come just straight to your house some other way. And I'm not even saying like, oh, these will be direct to Blu-ray. I don't even mean this kind of short-term thinking. I'm just saying we will expect that kind of entertainment to more and more be on streaming services and part of television packages and coming in a different way. And still being recognized by the by the Oscars as things that could be competitive.
So do you think all these kind of other films will be just kind of like bi-coastal releases then?
Yeah.
Because you got people in LA who are like, the Oscars and all that kind of stuff, where the people are just like, still have that audience out there, I do believe.
They have that audience,
but
all go to the movies for free.
Yeah.
They're all free screeners.
Yeah.
The movies come to our house, and then we get to go to nice little viewing rooms and watch them for free. So the people who make the movies aren't always, I hate to say this, paying to watch the movies.
Yeah.
They're paying
that
in
is,
the fact
that is
that,
true.
Yeah.
So, the people who are going to drive continued movie going are the people who don't have that access and who really need to go to the movies every week as that amazing thing in their lives. And that's what's being lost that I think these movies are going to continue to save.
Sure. And I'm just saying that the nice, introspective, thought-provoking, quiet film doesn't need to be in a giant cineplex.
I think it will continue to be released into certain theaters alongside direct to your home.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing that now, right?
Exactly. That's already starting to happen with smaller films. I think that will continue to grow until larger and larger films are doing that. And yet, at the same time, there'll be movies that are meant for the theater, blockbuster like Star Wars, Avengers, et cetera, even Kingsman. And just like TV didn't kill movies, it changed them. That's what's going to happen here.
Yep, I agree. So it won't be just black and white, like suddenly they'll stop showing these movies there. There'll be a transition. There'll be new things we didn't think of. There'll be stuff that happens. But I'll bet if you could snapshot what a movie theater is in 2030, it is a very different thing than it is today. That's my thinking. All right, now we'll get to emails. We got one email. Nathan Jackson wrote in and says, Scott, Tom, and guests, I recently saw an ad that Aladdin was coming out of the vault, the Disney vault, for a special diamond edition, which made me wonder at some point, will Disney put Avengers and Star Wars into a vault? Wanted to get your thoughts on, do you think Disney will follow the same model with their Marvel and Lucasfilm franchises as they do with their animation studio? Thanks, Nathan. I feel like the vault stuff stopped after like Hercules, didn't it? Like they quit talking about it.
I think these days it's like, it's all about like streaming or digital distribution. So
yeah, the vault thing was, our older back catalog isn't selling as well. How can we juice those sales? Let's take it out of circulation and make a big deal when we pull it out of the vault. Today, if you do that, it's like, let's take it out of circulation and boost piracy. Wait, no, that doesn't work. We better keep them on sale.
Good point. Yeah, because if you've already bought, if I have a DVD copy of, let's say, The Incredibles, and they say, hey, we're putting it in the vault, so get it while you can, I'll say, well, I could say, yeah, I'll put that up on torrent and everyone will have it. It to me, it seems like a silly idea. Plus, it's this artificial scarcity idea somehow it's in this vault and there's no vault. It's just bullcrap. Right.
You know what's vault forever? Song of the South. That's what the vault was made for.
That's right.
Done.
That's right.
End of story.
All your racist animation belongs in the vault.
But the funny thing is we keep buying Star Wars over and over again.
Yep, we do. And they'll keep doing that, but they're never going to go, oh, it's in the vault. So if you didn't get it now, you're never going
to
get it.
Yeah, they don't need to put it in the vault. They just need to come out with special editions.
Sure. Yeah. And I still say...
Well, how about a special edition going to the special edition of like the original cuts? That would be the best.
I got the original cut on DVD.
Me too. I love
it. I think I do. I think it's upstairs somewhere. But it's just like every time I was showing my kids Star Wars the other day and just that Han Solo, Greedo... scene where
so
it's
show
like,
them the DVD of the original then.
Yeah,
I don't know where it is. It's upstairs in storage.
Tell them
that sounds
say,
like a you problem.
Yeah, say look.
But the thing is, but you're looking at the physics of that. It's like his gun can't even shoot like that. It's like
it'll happen. No, I'm joking with you, Hakito, but it's exactly right. Disney's going to put out a pristine version eventually because Lucas was always the blocker on that, and Disney's just waiting for the right moment to get us to spend our money again to be like, here are the original theater versions of all seven movies.
Dude, those will sell so well.
Oh, they'll do really well. And there are these ones that you just put up on digital, a week and something ago?
Yeah.
Those are already selling like crazy. So they're going to just do it all over again. They're going to make a crap ton of money, and you'll never have to see Jabba the Hutt fart because Han Solo stepped on his tail. You'll never have to see a Sarlacc pit with a freaking beak coming out of it like a bird. Oh my gosh, that stuff. Empire, they didn't screw up too much, but the rest of it, garbage. All right. Well, thank you for the email. You can send those to currentgeek@gmail.com, and we love your emails and your feedback, so please keep those coming. That's going to do it for today's show. You guys were great, as we knew you'd be. The big not only is it the 50th episode, but this is like the Star Wars episode.
Hey, so, before we go, sorry, this is really quick. I promised my coworker who has a podcast, he's trying to break into podcasts, and it's a Star Wars podcast, so I thought it's relatable. What it is called Storm Crouping with Unit 13 at unit13podcast.com. And what it is, it's him and his friends get together doing kind of the D&D version of Star Wars.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yep.
That seems so all right. Is that based on an actual tabletop game or what?
Yeah, there's actually a role-playing Star Wars game out there.
And it's Unit 13 Podcast. Is 13 spelled out?
Unit the number 13 podcast.com.
No, it's not coming up for me for some reason.
Unit 13
podcast.com.
Oh, there it is. I found it. Yep. I was missing an S. Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's cool, man. So they're chronicling their game as they go.
Yep.
Welcome to Yavin.
Nice. By the way, what's the name of that new desert planet?
Jakku.
Yeah, that's it. Jakku. I like it. Jakku.
Jakku Mafina Ne.
That's very cool. Nice plug there, Eric. Do you got anything else you want to plug, or is that it?
Well, I don't have anything else going on in all my life. So
come play Heroes with me and Eric. We have a lot of fun in that game. So
Tonight. Yeah, it's going down.
I have to go to a concert, but when I get before I go,
you and Angie are going to a concert together.
Oh, is she going to a concert?
Yeah.
Oh crap. Now, this is all inside baseball. We'll talk about it off the air.
Sorry.
That's all right. Jenny, what are you doing? What's going on?
So, in addition to my fine job that I love very much on Daily Tech News Show, and it makes me really happy.
I heard your boss is a tyrant.
I have like the best boss ever. I really do. But my boss is so great that he encouraged me to try to start a thing with audio recording. And so I did. And it's called Tell It Anyway. And it's a storytelling podcast where me and my husband and a bunch of our friends get together and just tell stories around one topic. And tonight, at 7:30 Pacific, 8:30 in the only time zone that matters, we're getting on the air on Alpha Geek Radio, and we're doing a live listening party where we're going to listen to the very 10th episode. It's a very special 10th episode. And at 1 hour after we listen to it and hang out in IRC and chat about it, we're going to do a live post show just to see if we can. Like, it's a beta. Like, can we pull off a live post show? And then also just talk about the show and how it's been going so far and whether we're going to continue and all that.
That's
so
really
tellitanyway.com.
Yeah, it's a great show. I've been listening since I heard about it, and I really like it. So if you want to hear sometimes very interesting stories.
Yeah, you're going to hear people with interesting lives and interesting jobs telling personal stories about their lives that you will find yourself lost in.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I agree. I shouldn't say I was surprised because I knew it'd be good, but I didn't know it was going to be that interesting. So I really like it. So do check that out. Of course, what's your Twitter again, Jenny?
Jenny J, J-E-N-N-I-E-J 2-3.
Nice. Eric is at Hakito. Tom is at Ace Detect. I'm at Scott Johnson. And Tom, do you have anything you want to mention?
Yes. Citadel 32, Tale of the Aggregate, new book. Out on sale. It's about a moon base that was abandoned after an apocalypse on Earth. What happens up there, how they survive, and how the people on Earth are getting along, wondering about what's going up on the moon.
Nice.
So check it out, tommerrittbooks.com.
Yep. I loved doing the cover art. If we always say this, but if you're coming to Nerdtacular, buy it and bring it to Nerdtacular. We'll both sign it if you'll have us, if you want us to. Let's put it that way. All right. I think that's going to do it for us. Don't forget, currentgeek.com is our website, currentgeek.reddit.com. You can email us, currentgeek@gmail.com. And as always, follow us on Twitter, @currentgeek. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and for our guests. We'll see you next time. There you go.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we take a look at the wide variation in local standards for postmortem rights of publicity, thanks to a fun bit of legal research I performed this week for a friend. The right of publicity, also known as personality rights, protects an individual by providing the right to control how one's name, image, likeness, or other identity features are used in a commercial context. In short, companies cannot market products using endorsement-like materials where the person on the marketing products has not consented or licensed those rights to the company. the personality rights are based on natural rights and property rights theories, therefore being based on similar legal theories like copyright. These rights survive death and pass to heirs, again, just like copyright term. But in the United States, these personality rights are primarily based on state law, and our union of states vary wildly as far as how long these rights last after death. 27 states have explicitly established some form of right of publicity, with a little over half these states setting forth a right in a statute or law that has been passed by legislators. The other states have judge-defined rights, also known as common law. Perhaps not surprisingly, the standards vary dramatically across these states based on different judges and legislators making the laws. For example, the three states with the longest postmortem personality rights granted by statute are Indiana and Oklahoma at 100 years apiece, and Tennessee with an indefinite right so long as the persona is in continual use. California currently provides 70 years postmortem rights, Virginia 20 years, Florida 40 years, and New York none. It makes a real difference where you die, as that's where the rights are determined. If that doesn't seem fair, that's because it's not. While some celebrities or luminaries like Albert Einstein benefit from decisions in law allowing continued control of the deceased person's persona, others like Nikola Tesla do not, simply because they died in New York. The bottom line is, even though all 50 states can likely be implied to have rights of publicity in some form, the piecemeal state-by-state method of defining the term and operation of this property right has resulted in what appears to be a total mess. You may not like copyrights long-term, but at least it's predictable. Perhaps it's time for the USA to consider standardizing the right of publicity as well. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and legal-themed questions as segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
Hi, this is Phil back with another game-punting pick of the week from the world of crowdfunded tabletop games. This week, we're taking a look at the Supervillain Handbook on Kickstarter. Now, this project aims to produce a source book on supervillainy for game masters running comic superhero role-playing games. While including stats for the icons and Fate Core systems, the book's initial 40 villains have been designed and described with an eye not towards the game mechanics of their powers, but rather as biographic archetypes with complete personalities, motivations, backstories, and character traits, which will make them useful for any superhero system requiring bad guys. By helping GMs turn their villains into characters instead of just a suit and some numbers, this book can help to flesh out and improve the gaming experience for the whole table, adding adventure hooks and new depth in storytelling. The Supervillain Handbook has funded and is expanding into stretch goals to include additional system support and more content, running through the end of their campaign on April 29th. For more news and reviews of crowdfunded tabletop games, join us on the Game Punting Podcast, available in iTunes or at gamepunting.com. Happy gaming!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.